This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are on Bump and Beyond, and this is me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, one of my favorite topics to talk about, as you know, I do like talking about sleep. And today we're talking about traveling and sleep, because it's December and maybe you're traveling, maybe you're not traveling, maybe people are coming to you because it's festive season in the end of the day. And even if you don't celebrate Christmas, because this is high, you're still having great time with your family and spending quality time, because that's what December is about. Family time, festive time, and it can be a lot happening, and it can impact your routine. It can impact your sleep. It might just actually, though, be the ideal time to work on your sleep. But I am not alone ever in my conversations when it comes especially to sleep, because I don't want to be boring and just talk about myself. But as always, I bring in expert advice. And today I am joined by one of Goodnight's consultants, sleep consultant Minyor Kuerschen. And she's also a dietitian. So there's a little bit of a combo happening. Yeah. Hello, Minyor. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Yolandi. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk about sleep, as you can hear. I'm always excited about sleep. But I mean, I feel like you, I mean, are the ideal person to talk about it, because I have, my kids are 12 and 14. I have years of sleep under my belt, and traveling with my children is obviously not difficult. They sleep in their wherever. In all honesty, when they're that age, they really can sleep almost anywhere and it's not a problem. That's not so much the case with smaller children, is it?
Definitely not.
So I'm very excited to have you to also have to talk about these type of things. But why do you think, what is one of the reasons why, especially smaller children, why do you think that they struggle a little bit more when we're traveling? Why do they struggle a little bit more with sleep when we're traveling?
With sleep. So, Yolandi, their brains and bodies thrive on routine and stability. And obviously, when we're traveling, all of that is disrupted. So the place they're sleeping in is different. Their routine is different. They often get overstimulated on holidays as well, because we're doing fun activities, these new places, new people they're exposed to. And then also, being a dietitian, we also shouldn't forget that the foods they eat are usually different. So they're exposed to usually more unhealthy foods, sugary foods. So all of that just kind of overwires the brain, and their stimulatory processes, they get overstimulated. So they often struggle to fall asleep. They're restless because we're changing the sleep timing, often later bedtimes. Naps are often skipped or not the quality it should be. But the main thing comes down to when they are, especially like my kids, they don't have, you know, the concept of time. So when we're changing up everything, the routine changes, everything changes, then definitely it will impact their sleep.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this. I already have like 1,000 questions I want to ask and answer, for that matter. But more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
So, if you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about sleep, or the elusiveness of sleep during this festive season. And we want to help a little bit to not to have you stress about it, and or to have better sleep maybe during this time, because that's what it's all about. It is bonding, having family time. And if you're sleep deprived, that's not going to be that nice for you. But it's, as my guest Minyor Kuerschen, who's a sleep consultant and dietitian, has mentioned before, if you're a little bit out of routine and schedule, it's not that abnormal that your baby or your child might not sleep as well as they normally do, especially if you're in a different area. I also think that has a lot to do, or it can be different with different ages. In some ways, I think like smaller babies, the the change of the area might not have such a big impact on them. Like with toddlers, I feel like they notice, okay, I'm in a different area and whatever. But then the opposite again, I feel toddlers cope better with a little bit later bedtime sometimes and the nap not being ideal. Whereas smaller babies, yeah, they can be, if you're out of routine, some babies really, yeah, can be difficult. But now let's talk a little bit. Let's already talk a little bit about how can we change this. I mean, we know it can be different. I also think that parents, I'm going to now talk out of personal experience, yeah, in the sense of I was one of those anal moms of like, I really liked, I still thrive on routines and schedules and things like that. And so when things are a little bit out of place, even this is how bad it used to be, it's not that bad anymore. But like, I liked the way things were on the changing table. And if I went somewhere else, just the change of that kind of threw me a little bit. And it always took me, if we went somewhere else, that things were not the way it was. And it was a little bit harder and more thinking that went into it. And I really now know that my pedanticness in that also made things worse when we went somewhere. My stressing about my child not sleeping or that it's going to be horrible when we're traveling, I 100% made it worse. I wish I could go back to myself and say, relax. But obviously, even if I say that now to parents, if you're that type of person, saying to someone, relax, the opposite happens. Are you a more relaxed traveler, Mignon?
Yolanda, I think because of where we are based, we travel a lot. So for everyone's reference, we're in the Northern Cape, so everything is very far from us. So I think we travel a lot with the kids, but yes, definitely for me as and to link back to what you said previously, I think your baby or toddler's personality is also going to play a role in this because if I just compare my firstborn, who's almost 4 years old. She was one of those babies that would become a mess if she's overtired, and I just really had to put her down. But my youngest, you don't even realize that she's becoming tired. So I think personality-wise, of yes, the parents, but also the kids, how they, and if you think of yourself as well, some people can have a good night's rest in an unfamiliar place. Other people take 3 to 4 days to adjust. But with myself, yeah. So I think also as a first mom, when I only had my firstborn, definitely same. But yeah, there's always things you can do to make it more comfortable for you and for them. And then I think being flexible is also important because it is your holiday that you saved up for. So I think just be prepared for that. You know, keep what you can consistent and then just enjoy the holiday as well.
But then, like, for now, like, I am going away in a week's time. I haven't even started packing. Which is not normal, actually. When my kids were smaller, I could tell you a month in advance, I already started thinking about it. Maybe I also had more time. I'm starting to think my life, there's too much going on. Anyway, how far in advance do you think you need to start planning a little bit?
Okay, so I think the starting point is always the accommodation. Where will you be staying? So if it's an hotel stay or, you know, an Airbnb, or if you're staying with family, it's going to be different setup. So I would firstly think about the accommodation. And that obviously you plan way in advance, but while you're making your booking and you're inquiring where you actually want to take your vacation, you know, ask them, is there maybe a crib available? Or, you know, will you have to take your camping cot with you? Will there be space? Will you be
I have to
flying? Will you be
say,
driving?
on that note, I've traveled all over the world. Everywhere they can give you a crib. You never have to
Exactly.
travel with a camp cot. You just
Yes,
have
no, definitely.
to
Definitely. Yes, definitely, Yolandi. And then also, just a little bit thinking about the logistics of the sleep environment in terms of the darkness. So, ask the place you'll be staying, you know, Is the room, is there blackout blinds? You know, how dark is the room that you can also just let your mind go in the direction of, you know, do you maybe have to buy like a suction blind? Because we all know they sleep better when it's darker. So just to think about small things like that in advance. And then I also think, you know, communicating to your toddler or your babies, I think they understand more than we know, but you know, involving them in the process, you know, where would you be going, where will they be sleeping? If you will be taking their own like a toddler blow up mattress or camping cot, you know, let them practice it at home. That it's because the more familiar environment you can recreate, the better they will sleep. But and then also, if you will be visiting family members, I think it's important, and there will be other kids or babies around as well, to just speak to the family, you know, what is their routine typically like? What time do they usually put the kids to bed? That if that's a lot different to you and your partner's way of doing things, I think to go into it with a plan of action, you know, how will you approach it in that environment as well? But yeah, so I think the first point is, where will you be going and how will you be getting there?
I mean, honestly, I've already like you've blown my mind already about this, and I've spoken about this topic a lot, and I'm like thinking, how have I never asked a place how dark? It's like, and I'm not afraid to ask. I'm like, anyway, I'm learning. Look at you, look at you. This Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Deskim Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Deskim Wellness Clinic inside Deskim pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, where have you been? This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking, and I'm learning, so I can't believe it actually that. Anyway, it's embarrassing and enlightening. You're never too old to learn, even when you think you know a lot about sleep and traveling. My guest today is one of the Good Night consultants, Minyo Kuerten, who's talking about it. And I think this shows you firsthand experience here happening. So I should have been speaking to people in Cotonou a long time ago because they're expert travelers. Yeah, I thought I was a seasoned traveler. But one of the things now, again, if you've missed this, don't despair. Luckily, later today, this will be available as a podcast on IFM, and you can already go listen and start preparing for your traveling for the rest of December. It's been really nice. I already some great top tips coming in, but you've mentioned something very key about there's a difference between where you're staying. If you're going to be staying in fa with families or friends or those type of things, and you mentioned like thinking a little bit beforehand, but obviously, then once we've now thought about, okay, those type of things, we have to get there. Traveling by car, by train. I mean, train here in South Africa is not a thing, but if you're in Europe, you're going to be on a train, maybe planes, those type of things. What are some of those things that you have to keep in mind with the getting there part?
Yolandi, well, in personal experience, my starting point would be, do they get car sick or not? So I think before we start with sleep, but it's happened to me too many times where there was like a vomiting episode in the car and I didn't have any extra clothes with me. So I think in terms of the packing, but then also in terms of packing, what you will have if you even flying or driving, what will you have, you know, with you on hand, the more of the familiar comfort items you can have with them, the better. So if they maybe have a favorite teddy bear that they sleep with, or a favorite blanket, you know, take all of those things with you in the car that it is available for them. And luckily, most children will sleep better with motion, but you can also have those that won't sleep good with motion. So once again, with the darkness, not necessary to obviously darken the windows completely, but just think of things like what will you put on the window, just because that direct sunlight can be, quite frustrating to them. So think about things like
And
that.
hot.
And exactly. And then also, you can obviously try to stick to their normal nap times in the car as well, but this is also a place where you're going to have to be very flexible on that. So I think just the flexibility and the comfort is important, that they are comfortable in their car seat, comfortable with the items you can have there with you. And then, I think the flexibility there is the most important part because, we all know traveling days can be great or they can be difficult. But
Is it
once you
just
get to
one
your
day normally, maybe 2 days sometimes?
exactly,
And that's something you have to keep in mind is that it's not going to completely derail everything that one day or that
yes,
it, you'll get over it and it will be fine. And as soon as you're in
definitely.
holiday, I can assure you, and I've had some pretty bad traveling experience. I mean, yours not talking about throwing up. And my son, I don't know why, but he's like my daughter's next level. She will tell you, I'm nauseous, please stop. I need to throw up or go throw up in the toilet without you even thinking about it. My son, he's like, I want to throw up. Blah. It's like, literally, like, couldn't have warned me or something. So I'm also top tip. I always have toilet paper or kitchen towel when I'm traveling. And a whole string of trash bags I always travel
Definitely.
with. And that's like, and it's something you don't think of, but especially in the car, you need to have a lot of trash bags. Because also, I've also had it, we drive down to Cape Town with our dogs. So I've had it that it wasn't my kids who threw up, but my one dog. So yes, but you get
And
over it.
then something I also want to add in terms of traveling. So being a dietitian as well, I'm sure you have found that kids don't eat well on the road. So there's a lot of snacking. They're not drinking. If they're still on their milk, maybe you don't want to give them all the milk because it makes them nauseous. So what I also always do once we arrive at our destination is just to give them a proper meal because most of the time they are not eating in the car as they usually eat. And then also once you arrive at your destination, prioritize setting up their sleep environment as this is also something fun you can include them in, that they know this is where they'll be sleeping because usually bedtime is a hectic time after a day of traveling. Everyone's tired, everyone's frustrated. So make sure their sleep environment is sorted out before going into that bedtime routine, that it's not something that has to happen afterwards. So that's also two tips. Giving them a proper meal once you arrive and setting up the sleep environment as soon as
No,
possible.
and I mean that's also with that whole throwing up and snacking and stuff. Because you tend to like, I go buy snacks beforehand, and I used to include a lot of fun things as well, like chocolates and stuff like that. But you have to be careful because then in the end they're eating cookies, and then they're eating a chocolate, then they're eating biltong, and it is. Then they're drinking soda. It's like, and that is what makes it horrible. So also just having some lots of options available, but like healthier things. Grapes is also
Definitely.
a great snack. And most kids like apple pieces and things like that. So also just thinking about that a little bit, that because it is, and offering it, I also feel it helps with crankiness if you have lots of distraction and snacks to help that to survive those things. But now the other thing is also, I mean, we've now talked about the car ride and thinking a little bit about the nap timing of it. You can sometimes it's going to work out nice, but you need to keep in mind if you're traveling far, even if you're thinking like Ballito from Pretoria is like 7 hours drive, for instance. Cape Town is we sleep over all the time when we're because it's 14 hours. With small children, it is significantly longer that you travel. And you need to incorporate like like breaks in between. And please, one thing I just want to mention with regards to that is please don't be tempted to take your child out of the car seat while you're driving. Rather stop and give them a feed or do something like that. It is not safe. In all honesty, shouldn't be worried about your own driving. You need to be worried about other people's driving, and they don't care. And it's dangerous on our roads. Don't take your child out of the car seat when they're upset, rather than take a break and it takes longer because it's just not a safe option. But also, then, what about, are you a frequent flyer?
Yolandi, when my first born, I flew with her a few times, but I don't think my second born, but those were also short flights. So I've never done international, but I know you can also request a seat that has a bassinet there in front sometimes. So once again, with that as well, just to find out if there are facilities for them to sleep better on the plane.
Yeah. So on a plane ride, you first of all have to remember that you don't need a, you actually, you pay still for babies and for children under 2 years. When you fly internationally, you still pay for them, but it's a small fee that you pay, but they don't get a seat. You need to actually pay full price if you want them to have an additional seat. But from 2 years, they get their own seat. You have to, you can't have them not in a seat. They also give you a special safety belt when they're on your lap so that you have a safety belt. So the takeoff and the landing has to happen on you and with the safety belt. So you have to think of those type of things as well. The bassinet also you have to keep in mind is a bassinet. So the sides are very low. So it's not 100% safe for a baby that's 9 months old, for instance, already sitting up. It's low, the sides. It's even lower than a normal bassinet, and it's high up. I couldn't, for instance, sleep with my side. He was in the bassinet, and I was so paranoid when he was 9 months old that when he sits up, that he's going to fall out. So I was almost lying there, like just I want to sleep. And in the end, he slept on me because I felt just a lot more comfortable with him not falling out of the plane bassinet type of thing. A top tip when flying, or for me, is that you have to keep in mind that the flight is not the only thing. Because often we're like, oh, it's an 8 hour flight, or it's a 2 hour flight to Cape Town, or whatever. Yeah, it's an hour drive to the airport. It's 3 hours of waiting at the airport. It's going through security. It's going through passport control. There is a lot of waiting. Most airports, I can assure you, and airlines will allow, if you have small children, for you to. And if they don't, you should ask. They will allow you to skip queues if you have small children, so that you don't have to stand. In all honesty, if they don't let your child start crying, someone is going to let you go skip the queue. But in the end, that is a possibility. So ask for those things. You can take a stroller up until the end before you get onto the plane. But if you're late for a flight or an in connection, please don't have an hour connection between flights. If you have connecting flights, it's too short. If the first flight is delayed, you will not make it, in all honesty. So with small children, make sure that the connecting flight time in between is not too long or too short. It needs to be long enough. Or else you will. I've had that where I've ran with my children and my husband. Oh, it was hectic. I remember that once. Anyway, then also, and I'm surprised that she hasn't mentioned that yet, considering what she does also as a living, Mignon, is that you get all formula now and ready, like, to mix packs
Yes.
that you can travel with. Those things are really convenient. So that's a very
Definitely.
good thing to travel with if you're formula feeding, to not having to mix everything. You can just have these. It's literal, like, Tetra Paks, basically, like long life things in little ready to mix formula. Great for traveling. Yeah. So that's a couple of that.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM. This is Bump and Beyond, and today we're speaking to Mignon Koerschen, who's a dietitian and sleep consultant, and we're talking about helping you to sleep better on holiday, the travel part of it, and those type of things. So we've already mentioned quite a lot of things for top tips and getting there, thinking about stuff. What are some of the things that you feel is must-have things when you're going away? What's your must-haves?
Okay, so firstly, like we mentioned previously, the space they will be sleeping in. So I think that's the most important thing. So make sure there's a crib or like a camping cot that you can borrow from the hotel or what, whoever. If not, take that with you. With your toddlers, you also get very cute blow-up toddler beds that are also convenient. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, just getting back to the sense of familiarity. So if it's possible for you to take things that are familiar to them. So take the things they usually sleep with, you know, their favorite pajamas, the bedding that they use, because even for your sensory sensitive babies, even the different texture of a different blanket or different bedding can be over, if they are sensitive to that, they can find that overstimulating. So if it's possible, that's what I do, Yolandi. So I always take the bedding with as well, because we obviously can't fly everywhere from here. So that's also something to consider. And then, you know,
I think that's a good tip. I also feel bedding. I also sometimes am grossed out by other bedding.
definitely, yeah. Like if you're using a camping cot and there's a spare single bed like duvet, it's going to be way too big and it's actually unsafe as well. I'm talking about that, you know, if they sleep in their sleep sacks, take that with everything that's familiar to them. So that's the second thing. Thirdly, to talk about the darkness of the room again. So once again, find out how dark it is. If it's not dark enough, make a plan. Even if you take black beds with you, I've used like a dark colored fleece blanket. You know, if you have a navy fleece blanket or something, just to also pop over the curtains, especially during the daytime, or you get those nice blockouts with a suction blind. So I think of the darkness. Secondly, white noise. So if you have a white noise machine at home, take that machine with you. It's going to help to create that same sleep environment. It's going to cancel out the background noises if you are staying up later than they are. And then, but even if you use an app on your phone, so just think about that. Should I take an old spare phone with a white noise app that I can use for them? And then the temperature of the place. So if it's maybe if you're going camping or doing something like that, can you take a fan? What can you take if it's very hot? And then the last thing I can also recommend is to take your baby monitor, even if you aren't using it anymore at home. But because they will be sleeping in a different environment, you will obviously be up later, maybe with friends, that you could just check in on them. Or where we always go, there's stairs and the kids sleep upstairs. And I'm always so scared that they get out of bed and they try to come down. So that's also something in terms of safety that you can take if you have your baby monitor. Yeah, and I think that's the
Ah,
most
that's really,
important
in sleep,
thing.
that was actually quite nice. And I was like trying to think what's my top tip things for taking. Well, I think you covered it more than I was thinking. Should take a good attitude with you. A good vibe was my
Yeah.
top tip. Because again, I feel like the amount of times I spent worrying about things when we were on holiday was actually so unnecessary. And I want to like share like one time. So I again was super, it was pedantic. It was years that I wasn't sleeping. So by the time my children started sleeping, I was so afraid to go out of routine because I just was afraid that all of a sudden it's going to be a disaster again and I couldn't go back to the way it was. So I just, if we went away, it's like my kids need to be in bed at 7. And there was no question about it for years. Also with naps, we need to go home because they need to nap or else it will be a disaster. And then one holiday, and I mean, my kids were already like, I think Emmy was 2 and Oscar was 4. And we were on holiday in Cape Town. And I finally started drinking wine again because for years I wasn't drinking. So it was also not like one glass of wine. I was already in a good vibe for holiday. And we were friends we hadn't seen for a long time. And the sun goes down relatively late in Cape Town. So eventually, like it was very close to 8. I think it was already 8 o'clock. My daughter actually came to me with her taglet and said, "I'm tired. I want to go sleep." And when I looked at my watch, I'm like, "Oh my word, I had missed bedtime." And when I was sitting like that, and she came to me, like I said, and in the end, I realized I never even gave them a chance. I just assumed they couldn't do it. They couldn't cope with a different bedtime. They couldn't cope with a later bedtime. I just assumed they couldn't. And everyone was having a good time. They went to bed, no problem. They slept really great that night. It was no problem. And the next day, it was fine. They even slept later that night, or the next morning. And again, I made it difficult for myself. For me, one of the big things I want people to take away from this is, first of all, give them a chance. Second of all, life is about more than just sleep. A good vibe is what's necessary. In yes, you can make your life a lot easier and a lot less stressful if you plan and you don't do those things. But you're going to be a little bit more relaxed and not worry because in the end, you're the only one who knows it's 7 o'clock. They don't know
Definitely.
that. So relax a little, or try to relax because it is holiday after all.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, where have you been? It's been a really good show so far, and it's almost coming to an end. If you're just joining me, you are on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting. And today we've been speaking and giving lots of tips on how to get out there, traveling with kids, surviving the festive season, I feel, and making sure that you do get that sleep that you need. In the end, big tip that I said is that go out there and relax and don't worry too much. And remember that life is more about more than just sleep. But the reality is, like my guest today, Minyo Koerschen, did mention to us, unfortunately, if you're a little bit out of routine, there's a lot of people happening, it can have an impact on your baby's sleep. And if one night we can all cope with, it's fine. Being out of routine and your child's not, we can cope with that. But even on holiday, if it becomes 2 or 3 nights and your child is waking up, then it's not going to be nice anymore. Right? Then you want to do something about it. How important is it to stick to normal routines, especially bedtime routines, Mignon?
Yolandi, so I definitely think the bedtime routine is something that is very important because it sets them up for the rest of the evening and it's something they're used to doing at home. But like you said with that as well, I would say try to stick to 60-70% of what you usually do. So take the steps out that are not necessary, but try to keep the same order. So, for example, if they are not taking a bath that evening because they've been swimming the whole day, but the first step was always the bath, still let them wash their faces, brush their teeth, so shorten it. So, keep the sequence of steps the same, but you can shorten it. So, I definitely think a bedtime routine is something you can still focus on, regardless of whether it happens at the usual time or slightly later. But keep the order of events the same. So if they are used to reading a book at home before they go to bed, take that book with you because everything that's familiar to them and that cues their brain that sleep is coming, you have to take with you on holiday. And also, I think we just have to touch on screen time here as well very quickly. Because I think often on holiday or when we're out of routine, we're tempted to just give them more screen time when they start to get tired. And that can also, actually, some kids are more sensitive to it than others, but that can also be quite overstimulating to them. And it can actually, some will fall asleep quickly with the screen, some won't. So I think, especially with that, it's important to not introduce that, as a bedtime routine on holiday, because that's something you will struggle taking away at home because it is so addictive to them. So I think that's also something I would focus on is don't replace bedtime routine with screen time in the hope that they will fall asleep. Rather, just shorten your bedtime, focus on keeping the order the same. And put them to bed regardless of earlier or later.
Oh, and I really again, even on holiday, you are going to have maybe 1 or 2 days that you might be a little bit out of routine, maybe a little bedtime, a little bit later bedtime will be. I'm pretty sure most kids can cope with 1 or 2 nights. But I can also
Definitely.
tell you, by the third day, if you have another busy day and it's a late bedtime, your kid and baby toddler is going to be so cranky by 5 o'clock that afternoon that you're going to want to do the bedtime routine at a
Yes,
normal time.
definitely.
So plan that a little bit in that way that you have busier days, but also quieter days. Because in the end of the day, yes, most children can, and also go on your children's cues with regards to that. Remember that holiday is about exploring a little bit and doing stuff, but it's also about resting and getting ready for the news term or whatever is happening, or the new year in this case. But you're not going to do that if you're constantly bombarding them with stuff. And the smaller your child, the more stimulated they can become by these things and the more impact it will have on them. But again, some children are really good with that, and some are not so good. But your child, again, plan your life a little bit in that way that it's that you're a little bit flexible. And you're doing stuff, but not every day is full of
Yes,
stuff.
Yolandi. And I think also to just add on with naps, because naps are often all over the place, but I think it's important to still prioritize a nap, just a reset, regardless of where it happens. So if your baby is still on two naps or your toddler is still on their one nap, plan your day around times when they will be able to nap. So if it's just a car ride and they can have a quick 30-minute reset, and I think also let your mind go there, where will they be napping? So remember to take the baby carrier if they're used to napping in it, get a stroller if they will nap in the stroller. So I think prioritize letting them nap without being too hectic on the timing, the quality of the nap, but just ensure if they need a reset throughout their day that they still get that. And like you also mentioned with the downtime. So if you're doing very stimulating, fun activities, rather do it in the morning and let them have some downtime in the afternoon where you can also relax with your partner. But like you said, that they have big activities and more calming, relaxed activities.
No. So, Mignon, this has been a really, really, really great conversation, but unfortunately, we have run out of time. What is one last thing that you feel like people should be thinking about if their child's not sleeping well, where they are? One last thing you want to share?
The most important thing here is the family time. Because at the end of the day, you're saving the whole year to go on this trip. So I think, like you also said multiple times, Yolandi, be flexible, try to keep consistent what you can. And also, like you said, give them the opportunity to surprise you because often we are set in those routines and structures. And also, don't be too stressed that it's going to throw everything off at home because usually, once you get back home, it's just a few days and they're back into their routine. So I think the most important thing is just enjoy, do what you can. And we can help you to fix it once you return from holiday.
I love that. For me, it's also that's an important thing to remember is that nothing you're doing is unfixable. That's important to keep in mind. But in the same breath, life is about more than just sleep. Mignon, where can people reach you if they want your help after the holiday?
Well, they can contact me. I don't know if you'll share my number or my email address, but obviously I'm with
Your
Good Night.
email
So
address is great.
please, should I give it to you
Yeah, so
now?
it's mignure@goodnightbaby.co.za.
Yes.
Obviously, you can check out our website, goodnightbaby.co.za. Also, we are on social media. If you specifically want Mignure, you can say, I want her, because you heard she knows what she's talking about and she's very willing to help you get back on track. Mignure, it was absolutely wonderful. And you really do have a voice for radio. You should come on my show again. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much.
I'll be pleased. Thank you, Landy.
On that note, that was the show for today. If you've missed the show today, don't despair. Remember, all of my shows are available as a podcast on High FM for you to go listen to. This show and all of the shows on High FM are available as a podcast. If you haven't got the app yet, why not? Why do you not have the High FM app yet? Go download it because you can listen to us then wherever you're traveling to. So you can literally have this traveling tips we've been talking about today in your pocket that you can go listen to while you're sitting in the car all boring and your child is crying. You can listen to my soothing voice rather. It has been wonderful. Please remember that we are stressed out when we're traveling and it's hectic with small children and everyone has had a hectic year and a busy year. Keep that in mind when you're interacting with those around you. And remember, the biggest example that we can give our children is the example of kindness. So during this festive season, that is my message to you, is go out there and be kind. Until next time, have a good day. Good night.